Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I have a friend who does Christian radio.
Me.
One of the features on his show that he does every once in a while, when he wants to make a point, but he knows he's not going to make it in a really elegant way, he says, this is what's coming up now is a lame sermon illustration. Well, what's coming up right now, this is a lame sermon illustration. What would life be like without God in the picture? Life would be like the movie Cats.
Ouch.
It would be going from one random scene to another with no guiding plot whatsoever. Maybe some bad CGI thrown in there from time to time. And finally, it just ends in death, and we really don't know what happens after that. That's what life would be like.
And that doesn't sound like a whole lot of, well, anything, frankly. This is Wretched Radio. A buddy of mine preaching a sermon on life without God. What would it be like if God not only existed, but if God were not totally, absolutely in control of everything? There seems to be something inside of a lot of human hearts, maybe all, but we love the idea of being somewhat autonomous. We have a difficult time explaining how is it that I can be held accountable for my decisions if I'm really not in control of the situation and not making genuine decisions. It appears to be a conundrum, but it's not. It is resolved in the mind of God, and we accept that even if we can't grasp that, because the alternative to understanding that God is in control of every molecule in the universe is disaster. Sure, it's a little hard for us to harmonize in our noggins. How is it that God orchestrates everything and yet I make genuine decisions? That does appear on its face to be a little bit tricky. Here's the alternative. If God isn't in control of everything, what would life look like? What would happen on this planet? How many totally autonomous decisions do each of us get to make? How is it that the universe could even be run if everybody is in charge, which is what autonomy means? Nobody's in charge. We're all in charge. You could not expect any outcome that is consistent or reliable. It would be a mess. From Looking at Christ, Ryan Hawkins writing, why God alone must be in control completely helps us to understand, while it may be difficult to grasp some of these truths about God, the alternatives are, believe me, you don't want them. You don't want to be living in Cats.
No one does.
I think even people, frankly, who like Cats don't want to be stuck in the movie Cats. When he said that, it's like, you know what? He's absolutely right. What is Cats about? Well, the answer is cats. So there's a cat with a personality, and we sing a song about it. That's it. And then you sing a song about another cat. The cats aren't being attacked. It's not Catageddon, some sort of end-of-the-world scenario for felines. It's just one song randomly placed after another. I can't imagine anybody would go to a movie like that. Can you, Joey?
I don't know what you're inferring. Implying.
I can't imagine that anybody, knowing how bad that movie was, would actually go to that movie. That's all I'm saying. Can you imagine anybody doing that?
I can imagine someone doing that.
Really?
Yes.
Who do you know?
My wife tried. She knew it was going to be awful and still couldn't make it more than 20 minutes.
What about the music? Didn't that Andrew Lloyd Webber score?
That's how she made it 20 minutes.
Yeah. No, that I don't think that helped.
Oh, what? But that's what the whole thing is about. It's just songs. Like, yeah. Midnight, not a sound.
That's enough.
From the
Stop.
Bay.
Stop.
So is this radically different than the Broadway show?
I have no idea. Did Carla say it's different than the Broadway show?
Neither of us have seen it, but from what I've heard, it's actually fairly faithful to the Broadway show.
So the Broadway show was about nothing but random cat songs.
That's correct.
Yeah, but at least you had people in costumes as opposed to these weird CGI abominations.
Why, God alone, must be in complete control so that life is not like the movie Cats? First, if autonomous human ability were true, God's will would, in essence, be subjected to the trillions upon trillions of actions of unforeseen future human wills. Unless we're capped. You get to make 10 autonomous decisions in your lifetime. But if we don't have a cap on it, if we're genuinely autonomous in everything that we do on this planet, that's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of moving parts. Can you see the chaos? Now, some people would argue, the open theist might argue, that actually makes God more omnipotent. He's able to take that great big colossal mess and bring the ship into harbor. I don't think the logic stands, because if the boat on the seas is not under control, you can't bring it into port. It has got to be under control all the time, or it won't be under control at all. From the article, this would be unworthy of the supreme being, because such an idea would be inconsistent with the supremacy of his will, which is so biblical, that God is on his throne. God is in his temple. Let the whole world be silent. That whole concept of God's omnipotence and omniscience is under assault if you and I get to do whatever we want to do and God isn't in control. Now, having said that, don't forget, what you do, you genuinely do. And God is in control. If you can't quite make that sink, consider the alternative. God would be subject to us in all of his plans and actions and how he governs the world. So God isn't controlling the world. He's responding to us in the world. And it seems to me the responders are the people who are not in charge. God either is or he isn't. Second, the idea of free will would actually make a more fatalistic world than the belief in a totally sovereign God, because the free will logic in actuality is more in line with pagan fatalism, namely that there's just so many wills and competing factors that it's all essentially chaos. That's paganism. You're just tripping through life. The winds are blowing and you go with it. You fight against it, but there is nothing predictable. So what can you or these small g gods do to truly change anything? You don't want free will, totally autonomous free will, because it would totally strip God of his godness. He wouldn't be God anymore. He'd be serving us. Wrong. Make him subjected to the trillions of unforeseen decisions that were made and promote a fatalistic chaos. We'd rather have God to be in control even over our actions than we being in control. Because isn't that what it means? I make a decision, I'm in control here. Wrong. Third problem. The idea of autonomous human choice is, quote, repugnant to the absolute sovereignty of God and brings him into dependence upon his creatures. This is Jonathan Edwards thinking on the subject. Believing in autonomous free will might help us to logically answer how we can be responsible for our actions. And I get that. But it leaves us with a, quote, God who is dependent in his plans, volitions, and governing of the world to the trillions upon trillions of unforeseen willful actions of his creation. That doesn't feel right, does it? You really want to be in charge of a planet? You really want to be in charge of your world? And this would mean our wills are even more autonomous than his will. That's a bit of a problem. Foreign to the Bible. God works all things according to the counsel of whatever you decide. No, God works all things according to the counsel of His will. Ephesians 1:11, Rex Sella. He's in charge of the place. He's running the place. We are servants to the King who's running the universe. And yet, even as He ordains, providentially controls everything, what you and I do, we genuinely do. What you and I decide, we genuinely decide. When you and I sin, we're genuinely sinning, and we're genuinely responsible for our actions, even as God is sovereignly in control of everything. If that makes your head crack, I would remind you again, there must be things about God that make us go, I don't quite, okay, I see that, but it's like hard. If there were nothing like that, and there are several things, not an overwhelming number of things, but there are a number of issues like that that shouldn't cause you to believe that God doesn't exist, but it should solidify your belief that He does exist. Because if you could understand everything about God, He wouldn't be and you would be. And I don't mind telling you, that thought horrifies all of us. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today, and thank you for listening to Wretched Radio. We do appreciate that. We also appreciate our gospel partners' financial support. They allow us to develop great products like Road Trip to Truth. Our video series, hosted by John Fabares, is coming soon, with episodes recorded at college campuses tackling the tough issues that this younger generation struggles with, like why is there evil in the world, and is Jesus really God, and is there only one way to heaven, and more. The goals are two. One, to share the gospel with this very depressed, anxious, and lost generation. And two, to help you understand how you can share your faith with this younger generation. We're looking to reach your kids and your grandkids with the gospel because the numbers aren't good. 70% of kids leave the faith when they head off to college. So if you would, maybe consider becoming a gospel partner and help us develop more tools like Road Trip to Truth. Visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Without sounding too much like a mafia don, here's an offer you can't refuse. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And Other Intriguing Questions on the Road Trip to Truth. You heard me right. We want to give you these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But there are two strings attached. Well, really tiny strings, more like fishing line. Actually, thread would be better. You pay for shipping only, and you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. Go to wretched.org/purple today and get your copies of What Time is Purple? It's also a great idea for the student in your life who's heading off to school or anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. Get your copies of What Time is Purple at wretched.org/purple. And thanks very much to the generosity of our gospel partners who make this giveaway possible. Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
books of the Bible. 1 Timothy contains Paul's instructions to his protege for church leadership. Paul exhorts Timothy to confront and correct false teachers and to preserve sound doctrine through church structure and preaching of the word. The church has a responsibility to preserve and maintain the truth given by God in his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Wretched Radio. Betty Buckley, I think, was the original Catwoman. Well, not the Batman Catwoman, but in the Cats thing. Wasn't that her name? Betty Buckley, I
Eartha
think?
Kitt, obviously.
Really?
I don't know, but...
You Googled.
She was Catwoman. Her name's Kitt, so it makes
she
sense
wasn't
that she
the
was
first
in
one.
Cats.
Alex, I'll take Cats for minus Julie 500. Newmar. What about Mr. Mistopheles? Yeah, the Mr. Mistopheles. Nobody's more magical than Mr. Mistopheles. Huh? There's a toe tapper for you. And what was the he was the sneaky, the magical cat. I remember we actually went to see Cats at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. It's still in business, isn't it, fellas, in Minnesota?
Cats or the no, I don't think
the
so.
The Chanhassen Dinner
That's
Theater
been
went
gone
bust.
For a long time.
Okay, this was a dinner theater in a suburb of the Twin Cities where you went and you ate, and then right where you ate, you watched a musical. And surprisingly, they actually did quite a good job. The food... Not so much. As you could predict in Minnesota, meatloaf. Want to start up a restaurant in the South? I have to confess to you, it's not that I don't like Southern food.
But?
It's just I'm kind of longing for Yankee meatloaf. Food. Just a piece of meatloaf. Just something just solid that isn't kind of fussy. There's a lot of fussy food, at least in Atlanta. And I just like something solid. So thinking about opening up a restaurant.
Well, you know.
That'll never happen.
If you want, mm-hmm. you can go see Mamma Mia at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater.
It's open.
Seems
it
to
is?
Be. Yeah, they're selling tickets.
Wow.
Mamma
I thought they had
Mia.
Closed a long time ago.
They serve pot roast. There's a piece of chicken, baked chicken. And I want to open up a restaurant in the South called Yankees. How do you think it'll do? Just good old-fashioned Yankee food. I think it could be a big hit down
you
here.
Do that.
Are you talking Mason like Dixon lobster line. Bake or hot dish?
Hot dish.
No, they're not going to get past the name, Todd. Sorry. You're going to have a problem with image.
Just a casserole of some sort.
For expatriates.
That's
so
it.
We're at
casseroles
the dinner
are
theater,
us.
Eating our meatloaf and carrots. And the Cats movie, the Cats play starts. And we happen to be right in the front row.
Uh-oh.
And the kids, I remember, you know, about 10, 8, 6, that neighborhood. And one of the cats broke the, is it called the third wall?
Fourth wall.
What are the other three walls? At any rate, they broke
the
fourth
walls
wall.
The three walls you can see.
And came like lunging right at our table. That's why my kids don't like cats. Freaked them out.
If
don't
that's
take
the only
your kids
reason,
to the cats.
If that's the only reason they don't like it, I'm judging you.
Your parenting is slipping.
Not a sound from the babe. And then Barbara Streisand did it, if I'm not mistaken. Here's a statement that should not need to be made. God is not Gumby. That's right. God is not Gumby. He is not a malleable toy that we can bend and shape to suit our needs. And yet our world, it seems to think that God could be like one of the cats. You know, they're pretty flexible. They prowl around, move around, change forms. Okay, we're done with the cat's routine.
Bet we aren't.
Todd, what a wise decision. Nobody likes the movie Cats, so spend a lot of time talking about it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Hey, you could start a movie sermon series church.
New Church of England Archbishop believes Christian views on sexuality should be adapted to fit the culture. Well, sure. At least he said it. Isn't that what a lot of Christians have been up to for a long time? The world keeps saying, that New Testament God, let alone that Old Testament really mean God. We don't like that one. Change him. And the church is accommodating. This is the new Archbishop, Church of England, the Archbishop of York. Yikes. I'm not sure the church has ever before had to face the challenge of being seen as immoral by the culture in which it is set. You got a book? You don't think the church has ever faced this? How's about the church facing this every single time we marched into another country? It's about every single time a missionary went to bring the good news that Jesus died for sinners, the world went, and no, we're not excited about you bringing your religion to us. It's not the first time. It's just that we're so used to Christianity being comfortably the predominant worldview that people at least hat-tipped. Now they're just becoming hostile toward it. And how's about in the Bible? Are you kidding me? This guy doesn't need to read a church history book. He just needs to read the Bible, which would tell us that the world hates Christ. How was Paul treated? Welcomed with open arms. He'd walk into a town. I don't know if you guys know this, but he actually, when he went into Corinth, the first thing that they did was embraced him and took him to a performance of Cats. That's how much they love. How old that musical is right there. The new archbishop said, on same-sex marriage, a strictly biblical view can actually, quote, legitimize homophobia in others.
What?
So we are the ones responsible for people being mean to people who are gay. No. No, we're not. If somebody's mean to somebody, they're responsible. He's talking like the world, is he not? What we can do is recognize that what we know now about human development and human sexuality, oh, you see, the Bible is so dumb. Paul didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't understand committed, monogamous, long-term relationships between the same gender. We didn't have science back then. I don't know what science has to do with this moral issue. Nevertheless, it requires us to look again at those texts to see what they are actually saying to our situation. For what we know now is not what was known then. Really? How do you know that, sir? How do you know that? Well, how do you know what Paul knew? Do we think that these people were dumb? You know we had pyramids? Do you know Noah actually built a really big boat? Do you realize the engineering feats that were taking place in the first century? There were buildings. There were roads. There were aqueducts. People were not dumb. In fact, I would argue quite honestly, our mental capacity overall has degraded. Did they have SAT tests back in the first century? No, I can't cite that, but I can cite Genesis, which says when God made everything, it was very good. There's this little old thing called the curse. There's the effect of the fall, and we see lifespans shrinking as the world gets a little bit older because of the environment around us. And I believe we also see our intelligence shrinking because we're devolving. We're not evolving and getting better. The Christian view is we're devolving. We ain't getting better. We're getting worse. Now, we have more cumulative knowledge. We have more systems to store knowledge and access knowledge. But that doesn't mean our brains are actually performing at a higher level than the people in the past. And so this whole, well, those people were so dumb back then. I'm not so sure they were so dumb back then. According to the Church Times, this new archbishop asserted his view that the Church of England should be united in our condemnation of homophobia. No problem. And that it is of little comfort to young gay or lesbian members of our church to know that while prejudice against them is abhorred, any committed faithful sexual expression of their love for another is forbidden. So love is love. That's what this is.
Well, love all you is need is...
love. You know. The current bishop of Chelmsford, did I say York before, of Chelmsford, also believes there's no... Oh, this is a different bishop. Also believes there's no reason why communion and prayers of thanksgiving cannot be offered for gay couples entering into civil partnerships. Because God forbids it? I don't know.
That.
The Church of England, quote, must be the church for everyone. You know, I'd always love to test this theory. All of these churches that say, we welcome everyone. Hi, my name is Todd. I'm a Bible-thumping wingnut Christian.
Well, am I welcome?
Why'd you shut the door on me? Why didn't you celebrate me? They're selective in who they really welcome in liberal churches. Restating the view that there should be no place for homophobia in our church. Well, nobody disagrees with that, but define homophobia. Disagreeing is fear. And absolutely everyone, regardless of their sexuality, is welcome in that church. Of course, everybody is welcome, but they're not welcome to stay in a sin. We wouldn't say this about liars. We wouldn't say this about thieves or any criminal. We'd say Jesus requires you to change. And something that appears to be missing in all of this discussion, it seems to me, is not just that God says this and man says that. Christian morality teaches this. The world system says that. We're talking about the better versus the lesser. We're not asking people to do something that is horrible. We're asking people to elevate their morality to be in alignment with God. And what could be better than that? I wonder if we haven't forgotten about that in this battle of worldviews where it's you say this, we say that, the Bible says this, Freud says that. That we haven't forgotten that Jesus Christ wants the best thing because he is the best thing. And the more you act like him, the more joy you will have and the more of life in abundance you will have. So as we go about the business, even with people in churches like this saying these things, we're not asking people to be miserable by turning from their sins. We're asking people to have a joy like they've never experienced before. This is Wretched Radio.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough law and gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. A leader of the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, EYN, pleaded for help on a video released last Sunday after Islamic extremists with Boko Haram kidnapped him last week. The Reverend Lawan Andimi was abducted by terrorists of the Islamic State's West Africa province. We used to know them as Boko Haram before they affiliated with Islamic State. The attacks took place in the evening of January 2nd on Michka County and a nearby area in Nigeria's Adamawa State. Pastor Adimi, the area district chairman for EYN and chairman of the local chapter of the Christian Association of Nigeria, pleads with church leaders in the video to ask Adamawa's governor to intervene for his release. He also stated that he had been treated well with food and a comfortable place to sleep. The video was released via Twitter by a Muslim journalist who's released previous videos from Boko Haram captives. Zachariah Nyampa, a member of Nigeria's parliament representing the area, issued a statement saying the army killed Boko Haram militants when they attacked and asking for the government to intensify its efforts to find Pastor Adimi. The Reverend Sansum Ayankula, president of the Christian Association of Nigeria, issued a statement urging the Nigerian government to take the necessary steps to rescue the Brethren pastor and all other captives held by the terrorists. Nigeria currently ranks 12th on Open Doors' 2019 World Watch List as countries where Christians suffer the most persecution. Praying for our brothers and sisters. Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy says in a new letter that the company inadvertently discredited what he calls outstanding organizations when it changed its giving strategy and pulled funding last year from the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Cathy, in a letter to the American Family Association, also says the company has not waned in its corporate purpose to glorify God. In the letter, Cathy says he agrees with his late father, Truett Cathy, who founded the company on biblical principles. AFA President Don Wildman on Tuesday said the letter from Cathy was positive news, but added that AFA will continue to monitor Chick-fil-A's corporate giving, at least for the foreseeable future. An atheist group is demanding an Illinois city remove a well-known cross from a mural, saying it is inappropriate and unconstitutional for a symbol to be on government land. The mural in Effingham, Illinois, was painted on an overpass near Effingham High School and shows the United States flag across a white cross, an obvious reference to the cross at the crossroads, a 198-foot white cross that rests on private land in Effingham. The tall cross was completed in 2001 and dedicated 5 days after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Although the cross itself resides on private land, the mural is on government property, and Freedom From Religion Foundation sent the letter to Effingham's mayor in December demanding its removal. City Administrator Steve Miller told the Effingham Daily News, no decision's been made. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Perkenis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not to beat a cat to death, but...
But you're gonna.
Yep. This is Wretched Radio. I know you've been scratching your noggin trying to think of all of the great cat tunes from the Cats movie, which is what life would be like if God didn't exist and we're not in complete control. You've got the Invitation to the Jellicle Ball. Oh, that's a good... The Old Gumby Cat, the Rum-Tum Tugger, Grizzabella, Bustopher Jones...
What?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this one out. Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser. Two cats worth singing about. Here's a biblical cat called Old Deuteronomy. Should we see what the lyrics are to the Old Deuteronomy? I'm curious enough.
Thinking no, we're going to be disappointed.
We're not. I'm sure they're thoroughly biblical. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, looking to make $10 million? Bring your Bible. Or just send it in to the new competition that's willing to pay $10 million if somebody can explain the origin of life. Hey, we can divvy it up. let's cut that prize into sections. And you and I could go home with some bank in our pocket. That's right. The origin of life, says the people that are looking. It's some scientific, the royal somebody or another, who's trying to come up with an explanation for why everything exists.
Oh, not
exists.
The Royal Academy of Science.
That's the one right there. They're involved in it somehow.
Yeah, such high hopes that they might be.
The article itself, I thought, was rather fascinating because the article itself, at least is honest in the conundrum that the world has in explaining everything, because the most intuitive thing is that there is a God. That is the single easiest thing in the planet to get. There is nothing simpler, and any sort of something that you need to explain to your child. You say, well, you've got to explain gravity. That's not as easy to explain as the existence of God. Whatever scientific law that exists, that is not as obvious as God exists. 2 + 2 = 4 is not as obvious. That a boy is born with boy parts, a girl is born with girl parts, is not as obvious as God exists, which is why a society that determines God doesn't exist has so suppressed the most obvious truth so that they can live unrighteously that it's no wonder why people are willing to be malleable when it comes to gender issues, which, again, I have to confess, we shouldn't expect consistency, but it seems to me the premise is there is nothing about anatomy that is determinant when it comes to gender / sexuality, and I know they make a distinction, but whether you're a boy or a girl has nothing to do with it, says the world. So my question is, if that's the case, let's say I'm a boy born with boy parts, but I feel like a girl, why don't I just live with my boy parts? They mean nothing. It means it's inconsequential, says the premise. Why do I need to have the anatomy of a different gender when genders don't actually exist? Don't expect consistency. Why? Because the world without God explaining and illuminating how things are, they will come up with the most confused logic. And here's the kicker. Not only will they come up with confused logic, they will tell you that it's brilliant beyond anything that we've ever understood before. I know we used to think that a boy born with boy parts was actually a boy, but no. We've learned something new, and our new thinking, it trumps your old fuddy-duddy out of time, out of step, not on the right side of history thinking. That's kind of the cap to all of it. Why such bad thinking? Because they've already suppressed something that is more obvious, that God exists. I'm holding up my phone. Why? Well, because it's never out of arm's reach anymore, is it? Mm. There's no phone maker. There's no factory. There's no Steve Jobs. There's no Apple. There's none of it. This phone just is. That's how, dare I say, insane the thinking is. So now, is it that difficult to try to suppress genders and sexuality? No, that's a no-brainer. After you've suppressed the easiest thing, everything else, or the hardest, the most obvious thing, I should say, everything else is a no-brainer. Don't be surprised for the prize. Origin of life is the hardest question in science. No one knows how the first cell came about. Yeah, we do, actually. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There you have everything you need to know. Space, matter, time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything you need to know to answer this question. But there's a simpler, more fundamental question. Where did the information come from? Hey, thank you for being honest about it. If you've got information, who put it together? Not only do you need information, but it needs to be communicated information to somebody who can receive and interpret the information. Otherwise, it's worthless also. There's two sides of a communication of information. The transmitting of it and the reception of it. And if you don't have both components in place, neither will work. They're offering a $10 million prize if you can figure that out for them. I can.
We could be rich.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what cracks me up about this is they're not willing to give away the prize based on a tried and true book called the Bible. You've got to come up with some sort of experiment and a formula to explain where life came from, and then they'll give you $10 million. And that's what cracks me up. They're at least being honest that intelligence being communicated needs somebody intelligent communicating it to something intelligent that can receive it and make it work. They're honest about that, but then they're asking you to do an experiment to explain how it is that we got intelligence without somebody being intelligent. We want you to do an experiment guided by your intelligence to demonstrate how intelligence could come from nowhere. It just undermines itself, seems to me. From the article, How Do Cells Know How to Evolve? No human software does that. Give software millions of chances in billions of years, and all it will do is crash. But life adapts relentlessly. Oh, how can they make such a claim? They're right in the first part, terribly wrong in the second. Everything we observe requires having intelligence and design if it is intelligently designed. But now life. So for $10 million, if you can explain that to us, pick me. Pick me. How does it do this? What do cells know that we don't?
Oh. Where to begin?
And what about consciousness? They ask. In the human realm, only conscious beings create and modify code. Where does consciousness come from? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Evolution 2.0 prize for $10 million focuses those issues down to one central question. Here it is. How do you get chemicals to code? How do you get a code without designing one? It's actually two questions, but it's the same question about design. It is the same question about intelligence. You can't have something intelligently designed if there isn't an intelligent designer. That is the most intuitive thing on the planet. Something smells good. Hey, there must be something cooking in an oven to create that smell, because it sure smells delicious to me. That's a no-brainer. That's complex compared to God's existence when you look at a universe. It is the most obvious thing there is. Something comes flying by you in the air. You would go, huh. Something with some force and power must have launched that bad boy. There it goes. That is less obvious than God exists. That is how obvious God has made it, and that is why they are without excuse. What must you do to win the prize? You must arrange for a digital communication system. Hold it. This is the problem with the prize. You've got somebody doing what they're supposed to be explaining can be done without somebody doing it. It's just bonkers. You must arrange for a digital communication system to emerge or self-evolve without cheating. Without explicitly designing the system to explain why systems are designed, your experiment must generate an encoder that sends digital code to a decoder. There it is. So you need somebody intelligent to design something that gets sent to something that can decode it and receive it and translate it and make it happen. Your system needs to transmit at least 5 bits of information. That apparently came out of nowhere, except you're actually designing it in a laboratory or on paper. You and I would approach these folks and say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's your explanation. No. We need something scientific. Why? This would be secular humanism. This is the age of reason. This is the era of empiricism. God, thumbs down. Science, man, thumbs up. And what do we see? Futility that borders on the absolute ridiculous. $10 million prize. I can send it to you in a text for free. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this. But then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it, and we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
Wretched's Millennial Initiative is on a roll. We want to reach this generation with a new TV show aimed directly at millennials, Road Trip to Truth. John Fabares will be hosting Wretched's next TV series, 26 episodes long, that goes right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. This program will reach millions of millennials with the gospel. Millions. Now, it's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do every single day. So if you are already supporting Wretched, we are extremely grateful. Thank you very much. If you are not supporting Wretched, would you consider it? Think about giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Not only would you help us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this lost generation. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. And join us on our road trip to truth. wretched.org/donate.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they had to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease
and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, here's a shocker for you.
The pagans are acting like pagans again.
This is Wretched Radio. What do we expect from the world when you read the headlines and they are relentless these days? This is simply mankind behaving the way that they naturally will without God reigning in their lives, which is the best way to live. That human propensity to throw off the shackles of God ruling in our lives. We're humans after all. And what kind of a hash do we make of it? A total disaster. Life is better when God is in control of your life. How can it not be? If God is the best thing in the universe, and he is, and he says this is the way to live, to have joy and peace, and to have hope, and to have purpose, and, what's that other word? Forgiveness of sins? A lack of shame? A lack of remorse over past decisions because you've been forgiven by God? How can that not be the better way? How can that not be the best way? Sometimes we Christians war against that, don't we? We tend to think, no, it's better to... I'm not taking just a broad shot at all TV watching here, but sometimes we justify a lot of watching of a Netflix series as opposed to reading the Bible because, well, we think that the Netflix is more interesting or better or more entertaining, or I just need a break. And the reality is, it's always better to read the Bible. Now, I didn't say that you can never watch a TV show. My point is singular, that reading the Bible is always a better thing than doing something that does not include God's word. Why? Because the word is the best thing. It's not that the word changes, or today it's the best thing, or I feel like it today. Now, that's based on our emotions, sentiments, and whims. It's not on the Bible changing, how interesting it is. It's always fascinating. It's we who are the problem. And we often choose the lesser thing over the better thing. Just thinking again about some of the advice from Ed Welch's book on depression, how to not be depressed. Now, it always requires a caveat because the issue is always more complex than simple statements. And I'm not just saying take a Bible verse and call me in the morning. But the point is, when you are focusing on God and his truths progressively, you will feel better. You will see increasingly that his way is the better way. His thinking is the best thinking. The more time you spend in the word, even when you don't feel like it, it will help you. Are you saying that it's somehow magical? No, we don't use terms like that in Christianity. We do say it's powerful. It's active. And it does something. God's word always accomplishes something. Always. If we choose to read it, think it through, apply it. It always does something for you. And it's the best thing that you can be doing. I'm not saying you can't play a round of golf, but it's better to read the Bible. I'm not saying that you can't go to dinner. It's better to read the Bible. Balance in life, of course, but be careful that you don't too quickly cast off the greater thing for the lesser amusement because, well, you're missing out and you're acting like the pagans do, who like to cast off God's ways of doing things, which are always best. How ugly does it get when we fail to follow God? The New York Post reporting a woman in Florida with four partners. Hold on, let me just change. Got to clean my glasses a little bit. It has to be wrong. Polyamorous woman in Florida with four partners. Nope, that's what it says right there. She's pregnant and wants to raise the child with all four of them, even though she doesn't know who the father is. That should work out just fine.
I can't see that going wrong.
It's going to be great. Hey, Dad, one, two, three. Dad, four, what are you doing this weekend? Want to help me?
Sounds like a bad 80s sitcom.
Would name any other
kind.
Starring
Greg Evigan and Paul Reiser.
One of UK's youngest transgender children transitioning at the age of 12. Once again, who's behind this decision? You got it. Dear old mommy dearest. Starting to take hormone blockers to prevent the natural onset of puberty, her mother, 43 years old, said, From the moment she could speak, she was a girl. I have not seen one of these tragic stories that did not involve a stage mom pushing the child to the front to be what they're not. Just sad. Child abuse. The mom said that watching her daughter, I can't keep the pronoun straight. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to side on the pronoun issue. I just can't keep it straight anymore. Grew up confused and uncomfortable in her own body, and it was heartbreaking. Once again, I don't know what that means, what it means to feel like you're in the wrong body. I'd prefer to not be 6'5". I'd prefer to be built like Vody Bakum. That's what I'm in the wrong body. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take steroids and stuff and get a scalpel and cut things. No, you just change your thinking, not your body. Although she was born male, so it would be he was born male, from the moment he could speak, he insisted he was a girl. So we are taking the word of a toddler. That is brilliant. We don't even let a kid pick his own food at that age, but we let him pick a gender. By age 5, he was asking, when is someone going to chop my body part off?
He was.
And questioning why he had it at all. Yeah, I'm sure he was. No, there's, hey, are you suggesting that it was really the mom behind all of this?
I
ought to. He appeared, like many young girls, to be obsessed with pink and wearing a princess dress.
That's sexist.
Yeah, again,
what's wrong with pink?
If these externals
matter,
then why do you need to wear the opposite clothes or have the opposite body parts? On and on it goes. The pagans are acting like pagans again. Netflix comedy, a petition for removal for offending Christians with a depiction of Jesus as gay. Of course they're going to do that. Why? The pagans are acting like pagans again. The comedy group Porta dos Fundos is responsible for the special, which actually marks their second religious satire following The Last Hangover. Hi, hi, oh, yay.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, that. But just see...
A couple shades
see,
shy.
See, now
clever.
Here you go, you Christian hater. The Last Hangover, you think it's about the Last Supper, but and that Jesus and the disciples got drunk. And then
well,
that's
I'm wrong,
last...
am I?
No. This is about Muhammad getting really, really loaded and going to cruel war against other people and cutting off their heads unless they would convert to...
It is.
No, not at all. Which depicts Jesus' disciples looking for him on the morning after the Last Supper. They recently earned an International Emmy Award for Best Comedy Web Television Special for The Last Hangover. Can you guess what they're saying about this special? What the point of it is? Joey, I know you can.
Oh, not again.
Yep.
What they is it? Just want to stir up discussion.
Did you read this article?
No, I just know the
You're
playbook.
You're a prophet. Porta dos Fundos values artistic freedom and humor through satire on the most diverse cultural themes of our society and believes that freedom of expression is an essential construction for a democratic country.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you say this is blasphemy, knock it off. Then, not so much. London School, Chris story, introduces woke lyrics to Away in a Manger. A primary school in London has sparked outrage among parents for creating a woke version of the classic Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, in the name of inclusivity. Whitehall Primary School in East London told students that the word Lord would be replaced by the in the timeless song with the word little baby, so as not to offend anyone. Question,
I'm offended.
Teacher? Why are we singing about a little baby born 2000? Anything special about this little baby? Is there a reason we're not singing about another little baby 1,000 years ago? Is there... Just sing the song, Jimmy. Just sing the song. Unbelievable. Sort of reminds me of the secularists who want to change BC to BCE. They don't
well, they
like
already
the before
have,
Christ.
Much.
Well, they've tried to, you know, to varying degrees, but they still haven't won. Why? What makes this the common era? Why are we 20 years into the common era? Anything happened 2,000, 20 years ago that would cause that to happen?
Nothing to think of.
So they try, but it doesn't make any sense. And the same thing with singing Away in a Manger. Why aren't we doing this about a kid in Pittsburgh right now? Oh, yeah, because it's about Jesus the Lord. The pagans are acting like pagans. ACLU calls for women's
something.
Products to be in men's rooms to achieve menstrual equity. Man sentenced to 16 years in prison for burning homosexual-affirming church's pride flag. I believe this is in Ames, Iowa. Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker. Movie includes a brief shot of two women kissing. Transgender man gives birth to non-binary partner's baby with female sperm donor. Man who identifies as woman sues in effort to gain entry into ladies' beauty pageant. All that to say, what should we expect?
The pagans are acting like pagans again.
So make sure you get involved in politics. Or preach the gospel to someone. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.